Okay, I just, like, being in this room, I seriously am about to cry because I think that Jeff and I are always just really moved by the friendship that you all have and that you come back year after year to see each other and, like, gather and make fun hats. And it is just, it's so amazing. And we often say, like, oh my gosh, what did we do right in the 70s, you know? And not that this doesn't happen in other eras, but it's just so, it's very moving for us, and we are very, like, humbled and honored that you guys are still in each other's lives. So what are we celebrating? What, like, what got us here for this occasion?
Okay, so Meg and Brenda were our counselors, many of us.
Okay.
And for 4 years led us all of these peaks we've climbed because of them and because of Sue. And Meg turned 70. So we all got together. We had this spark of an idea. I mean, it is an interesting story because there was just a Nancy Griffith song came into my purview, and I sent it to the group. We're all on a chat, and Meg liked it right away, and it's the song, what's the name again?
Margaret Meg or something.
Right, it's like,
there's a light.
Mary Margaret.
There's a light in all these woods. And so then we were like, what if we rewrote this and sang it for her? And the next thing you know, everyone's like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do this. And the hats. And everybody came together.
And those look like Meg.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, you know, the and then we, when we go on hikes together, it's suddenly like you're reliving your experience with each other. There's a kind of it's not that time hasn't passed, because of course your body is decaying, but there's a sense of joy and flow in the mountains that it's not just the mountains, it's us coming together in them. So please interrupt me.
You wrote us an email a couple years ago, and Jeff and I just revisited the email, and both of us are like tearing up as we're reading the email. And you make the comment, you probably don't remember, it was a couple years ago, but you make the comment that you could like hear these people's voices and see their faces as you were climbing. I think it was Chief's Head.
Yes.
You and your husband.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then he made the comment, like, wow, you're so strong, or something like
right.
that. And you just like,
no,
see that all.
It's not that. There's something,
yeah.
Something is recorded in your body. But it's a combination of place and being independent of your parents at an age when you're really curious and really open, and the connections from that time, sort of 12 to 18, or even my kids started going at 9, or Grant went at 8, to have that sort of experience of, oh, I get to choose what I do.
Yeah.
I get to choose who I'm hanging out with. It's not a play date that my mom arranged and drove me to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I didn't start going until much later. I didn't start until senior, and I was almost forced to go. and I then really fell in love with it, and found something. So I was super, super shy, and but being active in the mountains and then finding an activity you really love is something that binds you with people, even if you're a shy person who can't talk otherwise.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I didn't get until senior either, and I fell in love so much. I asked my mom and dad, "Can I stay the second 4 weeks?"
And that's really it's funny because that's almost scary in a different way, right? Like when you go and you're 9,
the
parents are scared because they're like, "Are they going to brush their teeth?" And I'm like, "Yes, they're going to brush their teeth, but not as well as when you're micromanaging it, because I'm a micromanager." But when you go as a teenager, it's like everyone's going to know each other, and I'm not going to know anybody. And
but
so, yeah.
I was shy too, and my first mountain was Estes Cone. And I thought I was going to die, and this beautiful woman, Shannon Mullins, grabbed my hand and pulled me to the top, and I fell in love.
And you've been hiking mountains ever since.
Yeah.
Yes, lots of them.
With amazing counselors.
I love that you guys all still hike together. It's so great.
Well, Julie's dad and my dad went to camp together.
Oh, cool.
And went through with JCs and counselors. And so there's an even deeper.
Yeah.
My dad was saying that all of his close friends through his life, as he keeps saying, the ones that are still alive, are Chile's friends. Yeah, so he's 88. Mm-hmm. He still hangs out with folks that he met at Chile. So
what is it? Is it the mountains, being away from your parents?
I have to say, there's one thing, which is we wrote letters all the time.
Yes.
And so that's a little bit of a different thing, the level of understanding, the commitment to maintaining friendships that weren't just totally accessible.
Yeah.
I think, too, to kind of echo what Jenny was saying about being independent from her parents, for me, a big part of it was I was the only person I knew that went to camp. So I came here alone my first year. And every single time that I came back, I looked forward to that, like, freedom to just come and completely be myself. Nobody knew me. Nobody knew anything about my real life.
Well, I felt so.
And I think it opens your mind and your heart to friendships with all kinds of people, and especially for kids today with social media and the pressures that come through that, to be able to get away from that and be independent and, like I was saying, like Jenny said, make your own decisions, decide what you really enjoy doing with no one from home sort of intervening is really freeing and really develops independence, I think.
Confidence.
For me, it certainly did.
I was glad to come be me because I'm at home. I'm a Brock girl. Everybody knew me. Oh, you know, Rand Linnea's daughter, I had certain, but here no one knew me. I was on my own. People don't like me or not. But it was very freeing. And I didn't want people at home. And they knew about camp, but I like didn't want anybody to come here.
I was from Los Alamitos, California, and no one from that area besides the Ferguson sisters had gone to camp. And I remember my parents dropped me off because my mom was a counselor and my uncle was a counselor. And they literally dropped me off in front of Chipita Lodge. Katie Fagin was the first person I met. She introduces me, and I was terrified. And I turned around, and the back of my parents' station wagon was driving away. And I thought, I have to figure this out. And then at the end of the 4 weeks, I got off the airplane, LAX, and I said, I'm going to go back 8 weeks. And I would go back so a little bit like Lisa, I would go back every year, 8 weeks, and then my friends would be so angry that I was spending my time away from them. I was like, what am I going to do, go to the beach or work at McDonald's? Like, this is what I'm going to do. And two of my friends, Scott Jones and Johnny Rogers from my high school, then drove out and surprised me to just see what Chile was like. And they were so angry with me because they're like, this is magic in a bottle, and we wish that we had gone there. So
I appreciate that magic in the bottle too, because I was at camp in high school at between 68 and 72, and that was a drug environment. Mm-hmm. And I used to say, "Come on," they used to say, "Come on, Meg, come on with us to Bob's and drop the stab," you know, that kind of stuff.
No, I'm going to get high in the mountains.
I still am too. The other part for me is that my mom went, her brothers, then my family went, and then my siblings went, and both my son and daughter met their lifelong spouses at Chile. So there were some similarities of love and value and quality. What quality of life do you want? And they are living that quality, too. It's just wonderful.
And kind of, I think, what character in your spouse do you want? Mm-hmm. I think that there is a certain level of character that I believe camp builds. And then they all marry each other. Now they're all having little babies. I've so loved being a kid with all of you guys, many of which I've just met looking at the back end, walking up the mountains because I couldn't keep up. And then growing up and being a staff for some of these guys, I was their counselor. And then I was a director and got to have their kids, my friends' kids, as campers, and it's just it's made my life so much more rich and fulfilled, and to have this, even if we don't talk that much throughout the year, mm-hmm. some of us do, some of us go in and out, just knowing that as we go through life and all the hard stuff and just life with ups and downs, there's people there that have your back, even if we don't talk to them, we know.
I love what you said, Terry, about spouses, because when I was engaged to my husband, I'm embarrassed to say this, but it's true. If you don't love my camp friends, it will be a deal breaker.
So, Margie, I said to Peter, who didn't go to camp, we came in February and we snowshoed in for me to show him camp before we got engaged. And I said, you have to promise right now our kids are going to be able to go, or we can't get married. And he will say to this day that dollar for dollar, it's the best money we ever spent. More than college tuition, more than anything else. And I think the freedom the kids feel, I think it has been really healthy for us as parents to take a step back, to let them tell us all about it, which doesn't get to happen now. We're at everything, we watch everything, we see everything. So it's kind of our story that they're in. And when you come, or they fly home after camp, they get to tell you about it.
It's the best.
And it's just the best. And it's not an experience they have very often. And I moved several times growing up, and so for me, camp was also just this sense of stability and this anchor that you knew was there every summer.
Yeah.
I feel like that has been for our kids, too. It made going away to college so much easier for them. They didn't understand people who were having trouble adjusting. Because there were people who were spending their first week away from home in their freshman dorm, living and dealing with a roommate that was different or from somewhere else, and they just had that experience every year.
Did they know it was like camp that your kids really like? You know, did they realize that they were different than their peers going to college?
I think they had a sense that they had had experiences. They were lucky enough to have had experiences that others weren't so lucky to have.
And then that stability carries on to adults. I mean, turning 70 has been, you know, wonderful, but not even that good until this week. I mean, it's been so wonderful to know that, A, I am loved, and that was really clear, and B, that you all had fun doing it.
Yeah.
Experienced joy in the group, in the gathering, and being, again, good friends, and listening to each other and working on projects together. I'm almost jealous I wasn't a part of it.
Well, you were.
We kept thinking, like, oh, she's bummed to be missing all the back and forth and the side channel of chats.
You know, one of the things we were talking about in the car with Lisa and Karen was, at camp, how fun it was, the incredible joy you had when your friends accomplished something that they had been working for, and that was just pure joy, like the joy of figuring out how to celebrate you, and just, and this group likes to celebrate each other and celebrate what we have.
That's amazing. After being, in a context where there is so much value on grades and numbers and tracking, and then to be suddenly in this place where you're like, I mean, with the recognitions, for example, it's like, who do I admire? Who do I want to be like? And not in a, like, I need to spell it out, but like, what do I want to aspire to? That happens at camp in a way that it just does not happen for us.
A good example, too. I mean, I think it's important, like the JCs or guilds now, and the counselors, it's important because they really are like,
like gods.
Important to you. But they also form you in different ways. I mean, things they say have long lasting effects. So.
Yeah, true.
You know, I think not being a shy person really ever, sort of the alchemy that had happened for me coming from Lincoln, Nebraska to these mountains, it just was the most positive addiction. And the sort of the alchemy of the mountains
and the exercise and learning the peaks. I mean, I know this area better than I probably know anywhere in the country, and I don't know it any very well anymore, and that's why we rely on Jill and Jenny. But I think having been a camper and then becoming a counselor, it is both the best job and the hardest job I've ever had, mm-hmm. and it has brought me the greatest joys and the greatest sorrows, and that this group of women were so good to Meg and I, and would still follow us, they say, anywhere. I mean, I take that as such a gift and such a trust in us, and all of these women and so many more of them made me a better person, and they made me a better leader, I think. They made me more confident myself, and that hopefully the gift I gave to them was, you know, be yourself, you can do this, you can push yourself to climb this mountain. And whatever that mountain may be, it may be in your job, it may be in your relationship, it may be in your kids. I mean, being able to have gone to camp for 6 years and then worked there for 4 years is really, it's one of the best things that's happened in my life. And these women in this room right now, I would put them up against anyone in the world and against, of my friendships, bar none. I think we would all run through walls for each other. And again, celebrating Meg this week, it was so fun to plan this. It was just unbelievable. And again, the thanks and the love they've shown me or Meg or any of us who are counselors, I can't even put it into words. And I've known Margie a long time. I've known Sue a long time.
51 years.
Yeah, I've known Meg a long time. And, you know, I just thank your family for continuing this camp. And, I mean, it's just so hard to put it into words and articulate it, but thank you for giving us an opportunity to try.
You're welcome.
We still sometimes, when we're on a hike together, especially up on top of a mountain, we will all say out loud, thank you, Mom and Dad.
Yeah. That's so good. Yes. I still send my 90-year-old mother a postcard every year I'm out here and say, thanks for sending me to camp.
Oh, the first thing I would do, my parents not here now, but when I would get home, is thank them, call them from out here. Some of you guys may
remember
when I called
my
parents, and I would thank them. I mean, it's the best thing they ever did for me. They knew it. We didn't have any money, and Mom and I had one of those old cigar boxes in her dresser drawer. And we would say, we'd be out and I might want something or do something. So, okay, or can go in the cigar box.
Yeah.
Cigar box. And so, and it was like, I think it cost $400.
Yeah.
And, like,
that's all, that's, we won't.
And it pays for
that
much.
Not that much.
It's the best money my parents ever spent. It's the best money we ever spent sending our four kids here. And, you know, it was a sacrifice. Because Mike and I didn't. And he even said something the other day. It's funny that you're talking about him, because just the other day when I'm talking about coming out here, Mike goes, thank you for sending our kids.
Aww.
He goes, I know sometimes I pouted about it and maybe wasn't as big of a cheerleader. He goes, but I noticed. I know that was the best thing. He goes, and thank you for the sacrifice that you made bringing them out here, because I couldn't just put them on a plane, because I have a son that still got to go here even though he had some challenges. Unbelievable. Never thought that would happen. But it changed bringing the kids out here. And that was a whole new way to look at camp. And it was amazing. And it wasn't easy. I had to come out 3 times. Best thing ever, because then my friends all took care of me and my kids, and it was great. You know, best money and time we ever spent. And both my girls go to college because of where they went to college. It's because of camp.
I mean, in my family, we still have, if something bad happens, we compare it to the last day of camp. Breaking situation, it's like last day of camp.
There's a lot of times when something's ending, you've been working.
It's almost as bad as
when we had to leave camp and we're all
sobbing.
Go on a lot of trips, and when you're it's the same kind of thing. You bond with these people because you're out in the wilderness doing
whatever it is you're doing. And then on the last day, I always get choked up, and I have memories of when my mom would pick me up. The opposite is, your mom picks me up, no, don't come yet. We were just all hiking, a crew of us, and we did Little Matt yesterday, and it was really difficult, but I mean, I was nervous, and we did it, and it was amazing. And then today I woke up, I was like, oh my god.
And then she tried to give us her helmet back, like she wasn't gonna climb the cameras.
But you know what's funny is, I know when we were all campers that last day of camp, and we get on the bus and we go back to the airport, and that, I think when we all got home, it always took me a week or so to recalibrate or something.
Re-entry.
And I have to be honest that every time I leave, we've been doing this for 10 years?
At least 10.
12 years maybe. Mm-hmm. And I still, when I drive back home to Boulder, I still kind of have that heart sink, that little bit of a heartache, but also feeling invigorated at the same time. So it's still that same sensation when you were a kid at camp as it is when you're going home to, you know, back to your adult.
Totally. You're adult again. Adult.
We used to divide time into being at camp and waiting for camp.
Yeah.
Right.
Totally.
So true.
Well, one thing I also think is when I came this year, I was so excited to meet Doozer and Katie. I get to see you today. And Jill, I hadn't spent time with them, and everyone in this room was like, "You're gonna love these women." And then I went up and met Dottie, at least one of her best friends, in the morning. In our EV to Lake Colleen. Well, Dottie was going to Little Matt. But that's just a beautiful extension, and I don't think any of us have talked about. I think there's groups of women, like when they're in sororities, or their childhood friends, and they get stuck on talking about their memories that they had at camp. And we're not stuck there. No. We've helped each other with deaths, with births, with losses, with disappointments,
with
joys, with triumphs, and I think that's really, really special. We do talk about our memories and what happened here.
Oh, sure.
How is blah, blah, blah? How is blah, blah, blah? It must have been hard. That sounds exciting.
We're continuing to create.
We're continuing to connect.
That's so cool.
Yeah, who knew, like, at this age, all the new camp friends. I was going to make, and that happened to me when my kids were at camp. Mm-hmm. I was so happy to send them to camp. Yay! I had no idea that their friends, oh my gosh, I love them so much. And they, when I was growing up, every year I would go to, or they would come here, go to see Cindy and when we were young. And so I said to my kids, you know, if you want to have some people out for Thanksgiving, have some friends over. Surprisingly, their parents let them come. So kudos to all their parents. And then my camp friends would come for Thanksgiving, too. And creating, I didn't know I was going to love those kids so much.
Right.
And wow. And then my house, since it's like right in the middle of the country, even when my kids were gone and their peers were becoming staff members, they would stop and spend the night and then go on. Even when my kids weren't there. And I was
that's
is,
so
fun. You know.
I think I remember that, actually.
My kid, a man I went to camp with, Fred Kahn, his kid came and spent the night on his way with another counselor. It was just, who knew? Who knew? And they still come to our house.
That's
great.
That's so fun.
They talk about wanting to have another Thanksgiving, but now they have their families. But they talk about, well, we'll do it not on Thanksgiving, but we'll have turkey and we'll do all the things that we did. So,
when you guys went to camp in the 70s and 80s, it's gone 60s, 70s, 80s, do you think your parents were nervous?
Oh, God, no.
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 Not nervous at all.
And then they were off to Europe.
But they also
so we went, and it was just like, we're gone, and they're not worrying about us. They knew they were going to get our little postcard and every Sunday that we had to write to. But, like, then when my kids were going to camp, there was suddenly video of them, and then you find yourself looking. It's like, no. And so I quit doing that because I thought, I don't want to see what I'll just wait and get the little report. Because it's like they're off doing their thing, and my parents didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And
And my dad was excited.
They trusted your grandfather and your father, and now you. Because, this is a great place, and we trust it, and we're going to let them go and be free. And I think that's one of the hardest, probably currently, for you now, is that, like, these parents just can't let their kids just go be, be kids. And I have one little quick funny. So my daughter, Courtney, went here to camp, but she now makes these funny little trucker hats, and you can pick your own decals. And so she tells, and all these young girls work with her, she said, when these kids come in and they want to pick this, that, and the other thing, you don't let the mom interfere. Because there was a little girl, Meriwether, the other day. She came, she picked out her hat. She goes, I want a horse with a hot dog on it and a tomato falling out of the sky. So, Courtney's like, yes, that's great. And the mom's like, Meriwether, Courtney goes, she's chosen her pieces, and this is what we're going to do.
Nice.
And it was just like one of the best things ever. And she's teaching these other girls, but it's so good. It's like, let these kids be themselves, and don't tell them what they're supposed to think. Can't have a hot dog on the horse.
Well, it's made us all such strong, I think, independent women, that if you're learning to be an adult, but then to be leaders. I mean, we're in this room, there's nurses and teachers and vets and
attorneys,
later in life I went back to law school, but part of that tenacity of going to law school was to think, oh, what did it take to get up a mountain, or what did it take to do
everything else is easy.
We have PhDs in this room. We have women who have just such amazing talents and are so bright. I mean, the collective brain power in this room is incredible to me. And but the other thing that's more incredible is the size of their hearts and the amount of love in this room. And it's just, ceases to amaze me.
I think it starts on the trail to do new change and getting to do new things. Like, I came from Texas, it was flat.
Yeah. It still is.
You can climb mountains, and then you discover, oh, wow, I really like climbing mountains.
Yeah.
And it's not something I would have been presented with had I not come to camp. So I was really glad that my parents did send me.
I think it's kind of those neat life skills that are all transferable. Because if you learn, I'm struggling and you're not, and then you lend me a hand, or the next time I lend you a hand, or we're in the same cook group for a backpack, and we're having to figure out, it's like, okay, who's doing what job? And then you're trying to figure that out, and that problem solving, and oh crap, we overcooked the rice or whatever, and how you're going to navigate that for the next few days. But I think it's also those subtle moments of being able to work with your team or your group or your cabin mates, sharing chores, that it's a it's a life skill that you can transition to being a mom or a vet or a lawyer or whatever, that I think are so important. And I think that's probably why our parents weren't ever really concerned, because they could see that when we go away to camp and we come back from camp, we're happy.
Yeah.
It's a good experience. And so
we're more helpful.
Yeah.
We're more joyful.
We know
my
husband.
Oh, sorry.
I think they probably were nervous. I just think the difference is they didn't tell us about it. They may have told each other.
Right.
But I didn't know that. Like, for my mom and dad, it was yay. But I bet.
And they probably cried on the way home.
A lesson for the parents in faith. I mean, I always think about how my mom put me on an airplane, and the only reason she knew I made it is because she didn't hear from camp. So you had to just trust in, like, the big picture.
But I feel like that her fear was probably still there, but they just didn't call.
Freak out.
Jack and say, hey,
Lisa.
She's not in the pictures. I was just going to add to Jill's point. When my son, when Bruno turned 9, I think, he knew the core. So he's had started asking. He would always ask, whenever Brenda visited, he's like, you wanted to hear stories. And so then at 9, he started saying he wanted to go. And I'm like,
9.
Yeah. You don't even really know how to brush your teeth. And, you know, I called Lisa, who we
hadn't spoken. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's like, this is great. This is how you do it. It's great to send them at 9. But my husband, of course, was like, that's a lot of money. What is this? This sounds really indulgent. But okay. And then when Bruno came home, those first, to your point, those first 3 days... Of course, it dissipated, but so independent. I mean, the transformation is you see your kid and you think, this is what is happening. He's on his path. Mm-hmm. It's such a different, like the gift of that moment that then just continues. And Lucy had a story. We got to, the two of them and I climbed Thatch Top the other day, the much hated but also loved. And Lucy, it turned out, and then we came down, so we went up the Escalar, we came down Shelf in Solitude, and it turned out Lucy had climbed it as a 12-year-old from Shelf in Solitude. And I said, and she said, yeah, I mean, we had these great counselors, and this is just what they told us to do, and we did it, and, you know, it was like, it wasn't presented as some crazy hard thing that they were gonna weep over, and so what a gift.
Yeah.
Brooke, I had a parent one time at GTE, and the first year her daughter was a little bit homesick and wrote a homesick letter, but by the time the letter got there, she was fine, she was having fun, everything was fine, and the next year she came back. And the mom is kind of facing me in the store saying, now, you know, my daughter's going to be really homesick. And I'm looking behind her at her daughter going, hi. And I said, and we had become friends kind of with the mom, with newer mom well. And I said, don't you think maybe you're the one that's let's turn around.
Yeah.
And it just, she, I saw like there was an audible sigh of relief.
Yeah.
And she was done, and she sent her girl there as long as like another 4 years. It was really cool.
I think it's a gift to give our kids the ability to have relationships with other adults,
mm-hmm.
and not adults who are evaluating them in the classroom or on the sports field,
their friend.
But who are just there to help them develop and for them
to see them,
to see really see them. So Lisa's son was Grant's counselor when Grant was 8.
Mm.
And he just worshipped.
Yeah.
And there's something so healthy and real about them. And at the end of camp, Brock gave him one of his own t-shirts. This was 15 years ago. It went down to and my 24-year-old son still has it.
Oh,
that's so sweet.
It really says
so
something
sweet.
About
that's so sweet.
Those kind of relationships that they don't get in other places.
Yeah.
Do you remember that when we were like, okay, Grant's there. I think Brock, and I'm calling Brock. Do you have him in there? Yeah, it's so fun. Yes.
I think the signups and the killer 5-day were my markers for how I could deal with adversity, because you would get so excited. I'm going to go to 5-day, and then you would get up there and they're like, we're full. And I would walk away really sheepish, and I'd be so angry that either my sister got on or one of my best friends got on, and I had to deal with that.
Yeah.
And that was so, even though it's subtle, we had to deal with that 4 times or 8 times a summer. And that was so helpful to me. And then the killer 5-day, so it'd be sort of like what you said about, is this as bad as the last day of camp? I'd be like, is this like the killer 5-day? No. I survived that.
Right. To Marge's point, too, I think I learned because of camp at a young age that I can do really hard things.
Yeah.
I can do things that I think I can't do or that I wouldn't have imagined myself doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that confidence and just sort of that self-belief and... you know, feeling of being able to face a challenge and think, you know, okay, I can handle this. I can do this. I think that really was started to be ingrained in me because of camp. And when we were campers, you know, we essentially had three different activities we did: riding, backpacking, hiking.
Yeah.
Period. A rare day was when we were in camp.
Yeah.
And
right.
So we did a lot of backpacking and a lot of hard hikes, and it was not easy.
Yeah.
And we pushed each other, we helped each other, pushed ourselves, and that I think really has stuck with all of us and helped propel us through difficult things, whatever they may be in our lives, and we'll continue to do that. And even when I come back and I hike, I think, okay, I've done this. I did this when I was 14.
Oh my goodness. Well, I feel like we could like go on for all night. I could sit here with you guys all night. I really do mean it. Like just being in the room with you, I always love it. And I just feel really honored to be here. And thank you for your time and letting me, you know, be here. So,
thank you for carrying it on.
And thank Frank.
Cheers to Frank and John. That's right.
And thanks for keeping it going.
You're welcome.
Yeah.